How many have been practicing cheerfulness this week? Have you? So you must have had a great week, right? Because when you're cheerful, you have a good week. That's what you do. How many have noticed that it's really hard to be negative and cheerful at the same time? It's really difficult to be, yeah, everything's terrible. Isn't it awful? You can't like put those two together. It doesn't quite work. And I'm so thankful for a cheerful, cheerful week. Yesterday, the seniors had a cheerful day. From what I understand, seniors had their luncheon, and Steve and Rick, thanks so much for hosting that and giving our seniors a wonderful day yesterday. How many attended that day yesterday? A lot of you. Good time? Yeah? You did not. Apparently we have some young ones that want to come because you have so much fun. Ah, you did. So you were there. Just, Pastor, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm continuing today on how to have the best Christmas ever. Last week we talked about cheerfulness. And when we go now to the next segment of this, there's one thing that God says that we ought to do cheerfully. Anybody know what that is? To be a giver. That's right. To be a giver. So today I want to talk about how to have the best Christmas ever by being generous. Being generous. That's our topic for today. During the Christmas season, you'll hear the word gift more than any other time in the year. We're just pounded, bombarded by gift giving. Ever since Black Friday happened, the day after Thanksgiving, we've been kind of just possessed with this thought of getting the right gift for the right person and making sure it's perfect. And this whole idea of gift giving can either grow our sense of generosity, or sometimes it can squelch it when we find ourselves overextended, or we get the gift itself, so we get that so much in our mind, and we can't find the right one, and it can be pressure packed. This year, to have the best Christmas ever, we first want to go into it cheerfully, and you're doing that. Now we want to go through it generously. Generous and cheerful together is a powerful combination. Amen. It is. When we can give with a great heart, it's awesome. A lot of people think that the act of giving gifts at Christmas originated with the wise men. Some think that. Whether it's true or not, we don't know. But some think when the wise men came and they presented those first gifts to the child Christ, as we see it in Scripture, as one little boy put it, said the wise men brought gold and Frankenstein and myrtle to the little Jesus. Well, maybe not quite that way, but they gave gifts. But you know, those gifts from the Magi weren't the first gifts given. The first gift given was by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to earth, his coming to earth was the greatest gift. He gave himself to us. And then he lived a perfect life. And then he sacrificed himself on the cross so that all of our sin can be forgiven. All of the sin in the past, all the sin in the future, and the sin in the present. That's an awesome gift, isn't it? He gave that gift to us. He's the original gift giver. And we want to take on that same attitude. Why is it essential to be generous during the Christmas season? I'm going to tell you four things this morning. Why it's essential. I'm going to tell you it's essential because Jesus is generous. I'm going to tell you it's essential because your generosity reveals your relationship with God. I'm going to tell you because generosity is an investment, and it's really not about, number four, the gift. It's about the heart behind the gift. So let's look at this right now. Why is this, generosity essential? Because Jesus is the model of generosity. He's the model. He's the one who showed us how to be generous by coming initially. Even before that, by creating everything there is, he modeled generosity. Jesus, I believe, was the most generous person who ever walked the planet. He's a giver. He made us, and then he taught us and modeled for us how to be givers as well. But it's funny. When we look at Jesus' life, there's one area, and we're already thinking about it in our mind. As soon as we think of generosity, what do we think about? What's the one thing? Our money, right? Isn't it interesting in the Gospels, we rarely or even never see Jesus being generous with money? Might ask yourself why. Well, because he didn't have any. He didn't have any. But the foxes have holes in the ground. The birds have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Jesus really didn't consider money to be that valuable a thing. But he was sure generous with his time. He was sure generous with his words. And he was sure generous with his life. So for a lot of us, our money is life. Our money is what we put our time into to work. He was generous above all. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He's the tremendous giver. And here's what else the scripture says. It says, "Everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Jesus said those words. Jesus is training us. So if Jesus is training us, and when we become fully trained, if God is generous, if Jesus is generous, what will we be? Generous, right? Because we've become like him. We take on his qualities and his characteristics. Jesus came to be generous, so be generous with our time. He came. He didn't have to come. He descended from heaven to earth. And he gave those 33 years, but you know, he gave far more than that. He gave his time. Jesus came to give his words. He spoke to us so that we could understand his heart. He corrected us so that we could go the right way. He challenged us so that we could be better and richer and deeper and more intimate with him. He wasn't afraid to tell us the truth. Matter of fact, he told us the truth every time he spoke. So we could be children of the Most High God. And Jesus gave. He didn't necessarily give money, but he gave everything. For us in our lives, we can equate that with our dollars and our cents. I want to ask you, which of these is most difficult for you? Your time, your words, or your money? I know for me, I can talk, and you go, "Yeah, I know, Pastor. I know you can talk. Thanks for not amening that point right there. I appreciate that. Brother's generous with his words right now. I can tell. Some of you may have a really difficult time getting out the words, "I love you." Or getting out the words, "I appreciate you," or "I'm sorry." Words may be hard for you. For others of you, time may be hard. That you just, you know, you're doing your thing and it's busy and it's tight. For others of you, your money might be difficult to be generous with. For me, it's the time thing. It really is. I'm pretty good at sharing my words with people. I'm pretty good at sharing my finances with people. That Sandra and I have developed a discipline of generosity. But time is tougher. That I'm doing my thing, I'm going, and I really, really have to discipline myself to be generous with my time. Think about yours right now. What of those three is the most difficult for you? Make that a goal this Christmas season, to be cheerful in giving of your time, cheerful in giving of your words, cheerful in giving of your resources. Parents, let me ask you this. How many want your children to grow up being stingy? Okay? None of us do. We all want our children to grow up and be generous. Well, you know, our God is a father. He wants the same qualities to be in us. And I remember back when our kids were little, I took my very first overseas missions trip to Sri Lanka. And there were lots and lots and lots of poor children there. And so we went to the kids and said, "Kids, we want you to be generous too. As Dad is going overseas and he's going to minister to these people, would you give a gift out of your things to give to one of those children? And Dad will take it and he'll give it to a child." And it was interesting watching the three little ones watch their wheels turn. At the time, they were both very, very, all three of them were very small. Actually, it was just Eric and Laura. Audrey hadn't been born yet. And Laura presented a gift. And when Eric came with his gift, he brought his favorite toy. That's what I felt. Man, it just wrenched my heart as he said he brought the thing that was his best offering. And you know, just this last week, as he's grown up now, he's a man of his own. He's engaged to be married. And he was in his bedroom and he was counting his money. He had cash out. And I stopped by the door and I go, "Dude, what's going on here?" And he says, "I'm taking care of my tithe. I'm making sure that I have everything organized so that God gets his." And whether he was 4 years old or 3 years old or whether he's 26, the lesson still remains. I'll tell you this, that blesses a dad more than anything, to see that your children are generous. It will bless God more than anything to see his children be generous. Not just at Christmas time, but in every season. When he sees those that he loves practicing the same heart that our Lord God has. Is that an amen for you right there? Amen. Number two, be generous. It's essential to be generous because my clicker won't work. Help me out there, men, would you please? There we go. Because generous people realize their generosity is tied to their relationship with God. Generous people realize that when you're generous, it's a revelation of how close you are to the Father. If you're stingy, there's a relationship issue between you and God. Remember, all the students will be like their teacher. When you're fully trained, you'll be like your master. So if you're stingy, the master, the Father knows, still got a lot to learn. You're not quite like me yet. And the reason is because everything belongs to God. It's all His. Everything belongs to God. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Isn't that amazing? Why should we have all these resources that we could be so generous? Why should we be living in Silicon Valley that we have all these things that we can be so generous with them? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. Isn't that powerful? When we're generous, we're not giving out of our own. We're giving what's come from His hand. We're giving what He's only given us. If God weren't generous, we would have nothing this morning. You realize that? You'd have no home. You'd have no vehicles. You'd have no ability to breathe. You'd have no blood coursing through your veins. You'd have no ability to think. You'd have no talent. You'd have no creativity. You'd have no strength. You, me, we would have nothing without God's generosity. Everything belongs to Him. So when we give, we're only giving out of what He's given us already. Doesn't that make sense? And when we understand that, then we can give generously. It's those of us that don't understand that are stingy. We hold back because somehow we think it's mine. Somehow we're not going to be free with the use of our things because that's my stuff. That's my things. I worked hard for that. We're not going to be free with our food because that's my food. Don't touch my chips. Don't touch my ice cream. Don't touch my stuff. We're not generous with our money because that's my money. I worked all week for this. I worked 40, 60, 80 hours a week for this money as my money. And God wants to remind us, whoa, 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 time out. You only have because I gave it to you. He's the owner. We're the manager. Amen. Can we say that again? He's the owner. We're the manager. God has given us everything we have. It's not ours. Let me illustrate this. If anybody's so bold this morning, I want you pull out your wallet. If you've got a wallet on you, does anybody have a $20 bill? Well, Rick, first hand up. Don't you just love a brother like that? Rick's got a 20. All right, there we go. Yeah, I should ask for more, huh? That would have been better. Now, this is Rick's 20. Okay, it's not my 20, it's his 20. So if Rick gives me his 20, it's pretty easy for me to go, hey, Sprat, you want a 20? Here you go. My blessing to you, bro. Enjoy it. How easy was that? Pretty simple. Wasn't my 20. What do I care? I can bless anybody I want to bless it with. Now, I'm not sure how Rick feels about that. Sprat's got his 20. You guys can deal with that afterwards. I don't know how you're going to figure that out or not. But let me ask you this. Rick, you have another 20? You got any more in there? Seriously, he's loaded this morning. I love this guy.
Don't lie at church.
He's got another 20. Nice. Okay, now, is there somebody you'd like to have a 20? Is there somebody you'd like to have this morning?
Yeah. Let's give it to Don over here.
To Don Z? I don't know why he chose Don. I know for a fact this bro doesn't need a 20. He's doing all right. Now, let me ask you, Rick, are you okay with him having the 20?
Yeah.
Well, because it's his, and I just carried out his will. You follow me? So now he's blessed because I just did with his resources what he wanted me to do. Now, you can deal with him afterwards, too. I don't know how to... Yeah, you guys just figure that out as you go, okay? Does that make sense? Now, in the first in the first part, I'm not necessarily doing what he wants. So when I give it or I use it in a certain way, we got an issue. And a lot of us take the resources that God has given us and we use them in ways that the owner maybe would not want. You follow me? And we wonder then why he doesn't pour more into our lives. Now, if I ask Rick, tell me, what would you like, if I manage your finances for you, you don't ever have to worry about it, and I'll never betray you. He's going to be free to pour resources into me because he knows I'm just going to carry out his wishes. You follow? If he wants Don to have it, he doesn't have to get up. He's going to sit next to his wife, relaxed and comfortable. I'll go do it for you. I'll go take the 20. I'll give it to Don. I'll do the work according to his will. Therefore, he's going to pour into me all I need, all that he wants. You follow this, right? Guys, this is God's economy. This is how God works. So when we understand that it's not ours, but it's the owner's, and we're just carrying out the owner's wishes, we can be more generous. You follow? We've got to live that way. People who are right before the Lord are generous. Our relationship is good. I don't know about after this. I just spent 40 of his bucks. But our relationship is good. Therefore, I can carry out his wishes. Here's what the Bible says. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Isn't that powerful? The key word is righteous. When you're right with God, you'll give generously. And he will be able to pour more and more and more into your life. Generosity is a spiritual discipline. It's not just something that you're born with. It's not that just some people are just more, hey, you know, go ahead. Just have all my... No, you got to practice it. And no better time than to cheerfully practice generosity this Christmas season. Number three, because generosity is an investment. Generosity is an investment. What do I mean by that? Let me just give you an understanding. If God's the owner and we're the manager of our time, our words, our money, we talk about money a lot because it's kind of the easiest way to talk about it. But with our time and our words and other resources too, if we know he's the owner and we're the manager, and we then know that he will pour more into us, not to make us rich, not to make us glorified, but we become the conduit by which it flows. You follow? We don't sit back thinking, oh, it's an investment. Oh, I want more. I want more. I want more. I guarantee you, the more you get the attitude of I want more, that's when you become selfish and that's when the flow is squelched off. Because it's not about us. It's about what goes through us. So as the owner sees us faithful, that we hold a loose grip on the resources that he's given us in the first place, he can continue to pour more through. And that's what God does. And that's what the word says. I'd like to ask Kevin to come on up. Kevin has a powerful testimony. Kevin, just grab one of those mics. Of what it means to be an investor in the things of God. And his testimony is regarding finances. But he and Kimmy had a powerful story of what happened to them. I want him to show. Kev, go ahead and step in the center and into the light there.
So last time I was up here, I said in the message to Greg that I wouldn't call him out. But when I was reading through the email, he said test on money. So I studied up on all things money, but then realized I think it's a testimony. So. I'm teasing. No. I did prepare, so I'm kidding. Okay. So, let's see. Back up about, I would say about 3 years now, because Kai's 2.5. And Kimmy was pregnant, so going through the planning. So we were thinking, well, we could, you know, Kimmy could go back to work after maybe 6 months, and it'll be good. Or at least that's what I was thinking. So my finances and my background is in finance. So I'm thinking, yeah, that makes sense because then we'll have enough, you know, money when he's born and whatnot. But then, you know, Kimmy expressed to me, she said, I would like to stay home. I said, okay, that sounds good. I'm going to go out on faith then and see what happens. We had saved enough so that she could do that for a year. So Kai was born. You know, Kimmy stayed home for that whole year. I think we were dipping into our savings about $2,000 a month. And so I was okay with that. Well, the year comes up, and then the decision needs to be made. Well, does Kimmy go back to work or not? And I'm thinking, well, you know, this is good. I've liked when she was at home. You know, I've gotten kind of used to it, and I've seen the impact that she had on our son. And, you know, it really kind of made me think about, well, should she go back full-time, or should we just, well, continue to trust God that he will provide for us? So we kind of came up with it was like a compromise. So she actually went back part-time. So she went back 10%, which was really good. She went to work once a month. Well, the next thing kind of came up, which was giving, because I was looking at the finances, and I was like, wow, a lot of our so-called financial strain is actually stemmed from our giving. So I thought, well, society's telling me, and as well as my financial advisor was saying, you know what, Kevin, you need to stop giving right now to the church. I said, okay, I don't think I should. And then he said, no, you know, you can write an IOU to the church. They'll be okay with it. I just said, well, even though financially that makes sense, I could keep a log and everything, I was not okay with that. So I continued to give, even though I kind of felt that was the main driver of why we were kind of in the hole. So, let's see, I think December of 2015, around Christmas time, I was thinking, gosh, this is really rough. Like, God told me to continue to give, and yet I'm still feeling like this is not good. Like, I'm struggling so much, you know, financially, that I thought, maybe he actually didn't mean for me to give. Maybe I should have just kept some more money for myself here. Well, I told Kimmy, I said, you know what, I think it's time that I need a new job, you know, and I think I need a job that not only helps career growth, but also just pays us more, you know, so that you could stay home and that you could continue to work your awesome 10%, which, yeah, it was great. So I prayed about that, or we prayed about that, and we came up, you know, 3 months passed, and I got interviews. They went well, but for whatever reason, the job fell through. And I was ignoring something in my LinkedIn mailbox, because you get those canned messages that say, oh, we have a great contract position for you, 3 months. And I'm like, I can't do that, you know? So I ignored a message that was in my LinkedIn mailbox for probably about a week and a half. And the message was, you know, not a contract position. It was a full-time. I work in defense contracting, so it was actually a defense contractor that I'd never heard about. But they were asking for a finance person, and I thought, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to go and see what they have to say. So I interview, and it's going real well. And during this time, I had created a spreadsheet, because I like those things. And I created a spreadsheet that went through our current situation, what I thought was most likely that I would get on this job, and our ideal. And so, I don't know, the ideal was it was pretty ambitious. So I thought, no way, not going to happen. But the most likely made the most sense to me. So I was, you know, I ended up getting the job, which I was super stoked about. And so I tell Kimmy, I'm like, yeah, the recruiter told me I got it. So we start then preparing for the negotiation phase. So I'm trying to, like, think of ways to go and get more. And the lady calls me about a couple hours later, and the offer is $2,000 less than the ideal situation. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I don't need to negotiate at all. Great. And I don't know, my dad's kind of funny. So he's like, well, Kevin, why don't you negotiate for $2,000 more? And I was like, Dad, they already gave a really good offer, far more than my, like, most likely scenario. And so, anyway, she actually goes and contacts me about an hour later with the formal offer letter, and it's exactly the ideal number. And I said, I just want to make sure that this is not a typo. I'm okay if it is, and if you want to resend it, no problem. And she said, no, I actually misspoke to you on the phone. It's whatever's in the letter. I'm like, if this isn't God telling me, you know, or if this isn't God talking, then I don't know. So anyways, yeah, I take the job, and it's great. You know, I feel really good there. I'd like to come, you know, to you today to tell you that Kimmy and I are really wealthy, but that would be a lie. So I think that the story, God's story, is still, you know, working. He's still testing us to trust him every day. And I wanted to also, to finish up, I wanted to encourage you, if you are on the fence on giving, just jump off. Jump off the fence, you know, and give, because you will be surprised at just what God will do for you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff.
Drake's never going to let me come up here again.
I might let you come up more often. That was good preaching. I might be out of a job here pretty soon, that I'll need to have faith to find something else. You see, that's God's word. God's word is trustworthy. Amen? The principle of this, God will supply you with what you need to be more generous. Kevin and Kimmy's issue wasn't because they were frivolously spending. It wasn't because they wanted a bigger, fancier home or more fancy stuff. It's because they wanted to be able to, or because they wanted to be faithful with their giving, their generosity. Here's what the Bible says. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Get the scripture. You're not being taken care of so that you can become fatter and more wealthy and more comfortable. You're being taken care of so that you can be generous on all occasion. That's the reason for the increase, so that we can continually do what God has told us to do. As you give, God will multiply your efforts. Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't Rick continue to give me more money if I'm going to do with it what he wants me to do? Better yet, if I were to take the money he gave me and invested it, bring it back to him and say, Rick, you gave me 20, here's 100 back. You think he's going to give me more? Sure. I do that. Sandra and I do that in our own finances. We have a financial advisor, and when we trust that person with the money, and at the end of the quarter he brings us back a healthy report, we're great, here's some more. Manage it for us. That's what God is expecting. And he's expecting it cheerfully. Here's what the Bible says. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's a principle. How many realize that when you sow a seed in the ground, a seed doesn't sprout up? Right? You don't get a seed for a seed. One for one. When you plant a seed, you get a tree. And in that tree are, who knows how much, dozens and dozens and even hundreds and hundreds of pieces of fruit with seeds in them. You can multiply greatly. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. And notice in the scripture before, let me back up real quick, that he's talking about you'll enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. Not necessarily the enlargement of the harvest of your bank account, but God will take care of that. He will. But your righteousness, this is all about the heart and where we are in our hearts. He will take care of us. Our giving is an issue of investment. God blesses those who are generous. Let me just give you some scripture. I can give you opinion. Who cares about my opinion? Kevin can tell you a great story. Really, when it comes down to it, you can say, well, that's good for him. Never happened to me. Let me just give you, I've been giving you God's word all morning. Let me give you a little bit more. Psalm 112. God will come to those who are generous. You want God to come near you? Be generous. Another scripture, Psalm 11. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Isn't that awesome scripture? You found it to be true, right? When you give to others, Bill, when you give to others at Crescent Manor, how much does that refresh you? That gives you life, doesn't it? That's energy. He spends hours and hours and hours. I mean, the guy was an executive. Now he's retired. And now what's he doing? Working with the people who are the lowest. And I would be willing to guess you got more energy now than you did 40 years ago. Yeah. Because it refreshes you. When you refresh others, you get refreshed. That's the principle. And it's powerful. And it's true. Number four. Remember, it's not about the size of the gift. Some of you are sitting here today going, I don't have much, Pastor. You know, I'd love to be generous. But you know what? Let me just tell you this. When we're talking about money, maybe you could say you don't have as much as somebody else. That's true. But let me ask you this. Don't we have all an equal amount of words? Nobody has more words than somebody else. I mean, you may not use them as often. But everybody's got the same amount of resource when it comes to that. I know for a fact everybody has the same amount of time resource. Oh, no, I don't have enough. I'm working hard. No. Everybody gets 24 hours to a day. Nobody gets less. Nobody gets more. So if you're thinking today, I don't have the money to be generous, you don't know. Well, maybe not. Maybe you can't give as much as somebody else, but we all have the same amount of time. We all have the same amount of words, and we can be generous with that. Here's what I know. You can be generous in a right way and generous in a wrong way. Sometimes generous with our money can be done in a wrong way. How many have seen spoiled children because their parents just give them everything they want? Not necessarily good, right? It might be generous, but it's not necessarily good. The heart has to be right with the giving. The heart has to be in it. If you're giving so that you can get praise, the heart's not right. If you're giving so that you can have your name on the building because you donated so much to the cause and you know your name is there, the heart's not right. Jesus talks a lot about giving, but giving in secret. Giving when no one else knows, because then the heart is right. A big heart is better than a big gift. Not to say that big gift isn't good. But the size isn't the issue. Of course, the classic story that Jesus brought to our minds in Luke 21. Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow who put in two very small coins, the equivalent of about a penny, literally. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others, Jesus said. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. How many know that her gift was the smallest one of all, but it was the biggest heart of all? I think Jesus leaves the story there. It would have been very easy for him to include in the scripture, or for Dr. Luke to include in the scripture. And let me tell you later on that the lady who gave the two pennies got really rich. Doesn't say that. Because the point is not the gift, the point was the heart. The point was, that's what she gave. Make sure in this season of generosity that whatever you do it with the right heart. When you give gifts, when you give words, when you give your time, do it with the right heart. Do it cheerfully as unto the Lord. Lord, I want to bless you. I want to love you. I want to love people because you love people. I want to appreciate these people because you appreciate them. I want to honor you, God, by what I give. And when you do that, you'll have the right heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, but not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Decide in your heart. Weigh it out. Make sure that when you give your time or your words or your finance this Christmas season, that you've weighed it through and that your heart is right. 2 Corinthians 8 says this, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. God's not grading you on what you don't have. He's grading you on what you do have. So as you've done it right in your heart, then the Lord is blessed. And then he can continue to pour into you and pour through you. You know, church, when it comes to generosity, a lot of Christians act like they're atheists. They really do. They act like God isn't really there. That God isn't really going to take care of their needs. That God isn't really going to hold to His promises. That God isn't really going to supply seed to the sower. Let's not be Christian atheists when it comes to generosity this Christmas season. Remembering that when our heart is right, we're not being generous in order to get. We're being generous because we love God. We're being generous because we love His people. And we're being generous because we know it's all His anyway. And we can freely give as we have been freely given. God says, I want generosity as a lifestyle, not just a holiday event. I want generous people because He's a generous God, having given us everything. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and I close. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a good word. In all things, at all times, in all places, with all opportunities, He wants you to be able to abound. How many know what abounding means? You've got more than enough to be able to do every good work. That is glory to God's name. That blesses Him. And that's the way to have the best Christmas ever. Let's be generous givers. And let's be cheerfully generous givers this Christmas season. Amen. Pastor Sean.